Disclaimer. The following presentation contains scenes of violence and disturbing content that may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are those of the characters and do not necessarily reflect the views of the producers. This is a work of fiction. Names, characters, businesses, places, events, locales, and incidents are either the products of the author's imagination or used in a fictitious manner. Any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, or actual events is purely coincidental. Chapter 10, Whispers of Rebellion. This shared history of debauchery and cruelty between the two kingdoms revealed a sinister bond, a connection far more complex than mere alliances or conflicts. The accounts shed light on an unsettling truth. The despicable acts witnessed in Suryagar were not isolated incidents, but rather a reflection of a long-standing tradition of decadence harbored within Chandangarh's royal circles. In the heart of the jungle, a newfound resolve united the group of women around Danuja. Their shared ordeal at the barracks had kindled a singular, unwavering purpose in them, to extend their rescue efforts to the women still trapped in the clutches of Chandangarh's darkness. This mission, fueled by their collective resolve and harrowing experiences, became the linchpin of their existence within the safe confines of Danuja's hidden sanctuary. Harnessing the arcane energies required for such a feat, particularly the large-scale magical intervention used both in the daring escape and the subsequent healing, had extracted a significant toll from Danuja. The magic that flowed through her veins, a potent force capable of both destruction and healing, now ebbed, its strength diminished by the relentless demands placed upon it. Yet, in the presence of those she had sworn to protect and empower, Danuja masked the creeping fatigue that threatened to undermine her formidable facade. Under normal circumstances, wisdom would dictate a period of rest, a necessary respite to replenish the drained reserves of her mystical strength. Full recovery would ensure that any future endeavors, especially one as perilous as infiltrating Chandangarh to liberate those still ensnared by its vile grip, would be undertaken with the full might of her capabilities. However, Danuja found herself ensnared by a more formidable adversary than physical exhaustion, her own conscience. The thought of delaying their mission, of biding her time while countless others continued to endure the unimaginable horrors that she herself had narrowly escaped, was intolerable. The visceral images of suffering, the echo of silent pleas for mercy, haunted her, propelling her forward despite the physical and mystical depletion she endured. Danuja recognized that a successful incursion into Chandangarh demanded meticulous planning and precise execution. The lack of direct insight into the enemy's stronghold necessitated a cautious approach, one that involved gathering intelligence and scouting the area without arousing suspicion. The mission's success hinged on understanding the layout of Chandangarh's barracks, identifying key points of entry and exit, and formulating a plan that minimized exposure and maximize the chance of a swift, unnoticed operation. The gravity of the task at hand weighed heavily on Danuja, who understood that any misstep could jeopardize not only the lives of the women they aimed to rescue, but also the safety of her entire group. The quiet determination that had seen them through the darkness of Suryagar now fueled their resolve to face the unknown challenges of Chandangarh. As they prepared for this daunting task, the unity and shared purpose among the women formed the cornerstone of their strategy, each ready to play their part in the intricate dance of stealth, courage, and liberation that lay ahead. In the depths of Chandangarh's foreboding stronghold, Danuja uncovered a chilling reality: dark sorcerers conducting sinister rituals beneath the cloak of the new moon. Their ceremonies, shrouded in secrecy, doomed chosen victims to fates whispered in hushed tones, tales of souls devoured by darkness. Guarded by a fearful edict, none dared disturb these sorcerers until daylight broke the night's hold. Legends told of a guard's ill-fated intrusion into their midnight rites, a cautionary tale of torment and a life drained to its last drop. Under the new moon's dark embrace, Danuja and her resilient allies embarked on their audacious mission. Their plan was to exploit the sorcerers' rituals, using them as a diversion. They split their forces, one team to seal the exits, preventing any escape through the guard-patrolled corridors, armed with a lethal mist intended to sedate or kill. However, this strategy teetered on the edge of failure, vulnerable to the sorcerer's potential detection and nullification of the mist. In a defiant act, The women employed their past traumas as a distraction, presenting themselves naked before the guards. This was not a display of submission, but a calculated tactic to draw the guards' attention, their nudity a challenge rather than a surrender. This was more than just a diversion. It was a trap. The women were not only marked by their scars, but also carried potent herbs with paralyzing effects. These were not mere symbols, but hidden weapons, ready to incapacitate the unsuspecting guards, turning their desires against them. The women waited for a secret signal to transform from temptresses to warriors, unleashing the incapacitating pink mist. This hidden weapon would be their poetic justice, enveloping those who had misused their power in a deadly embrace. At the heart of their strategy was Danuja, who eschewed simple poisons for ancient spells imbued in toe rings. These were not mere jewelry but potent charms designed to disrupt the sorcerer's connection to their dark arts. Danuja knew the high stakes of her plan. If the spells failed, they would face the sorcerers directly. Yet, she stood ready, her resolve unshaken, prepared to confront darkness with the strength of her own light. As the operation began under the new moon, anticipation of the looming confrontation charged the atmosphere. Danuja and her team, a blend of shadow and determination, moved forward, their spirit bolstered by the justice of their cause and the unbreakable bonds forged from their collective ordeals. They strategically divided their forces. One group readied themselves near the exits, prepared to intercept anyone attempting to escape. Their chosen weapon was a pink mist, a silent threat of incapacitation, spreading swiftly among the ranks of the unsuspecting soldiers. On the designated night, under the shroud of darkness, Danuja's meticulously crafted plan swung into action as they approached the sinister depths of the dungeons. With stealth and precision, her team managed to apply the talismanic protections to the prisoners, all while remaining undetected by the guards. The captives, desperate for any semblance of hope, silently cooperated, intuitively understanding that their current fate could not possibly be worse than the horrors they were already enduring. The situation escalated rapidly when the sorcerers, in a display of brute force and cruelty, dragged two women towards their chambers by their hair. The air was pierced by the chilling screams of the victims, a sound that stirred a deep, visceral anger within Danuja and her companions. What compounded their fury was the apparent delight of the guards, who seemed to relish the terror unfolding before them. In a moment that seemed coordinated by some unspeakable signal, the dungeon erupted into chaos as the guards unlocked the prisoners' cells. There was a distinct sense of premeditation in their actions, a dark anticipation that had perhaps lingered in the air for far too long. The guards descended upon the defenseless women, their actions driven by a frenzied lust that knew no bounds. The horror that unfolded was not just marked by the acts of violation, but also by the sheer number of guards, overwhelming the number of available victims. This disparity led to a grotesque struggle as multiple assailants vied for the same prey, heedless of the physical torment inflicted by their twisted desires. Bodies were contorted, and spirits were crushed under the weight of collective brutality, each act of violence serving as a grim reminder of the abyss into which humanity had plummeted. Witnessing this appalling spectacle only served to strengthen the resolve of Danuja and her team. The urgency of their mission became even more pronounced, a beacon of hope in the darkest of nights. This was more than a rescue. It was a stand against the vilest form of degradation, a vow to shatter the chains of despair and herald a new era of justice and healing for the souls trapped in this infernal nightmare. In the tense moments that followed, the group restrained their fury, understanding that their mission hinged on neutralizing the sorcerers before any further action could be taken. While one sorcerer's chamber was quickly silenced, the continued screams from the other chamber sliced through the silence, urging them into swift action. Danuja, moving with the stealth of a shadow, entered the first chamber and, finding the sorcerer incapacitated by her spell, ended his reign of terror with a swift, decisive strike. But the urgency of the situation and the ongoing screams compelled her to confront the second sorcerer without delay. Bursting into the second chamber, Danuja was met with a sight that transcended the horror of all previous accounts. The sorcerer was inflicting unimaginable pain on a young woman, bound and exposed on an altar, her cries a testament to the cruelty she endured. Driven by righteous anger, Danuja engaged the sorcerer, her initial attack thwarted by his reflexive defense. A fierce struggle ensued, with Danuja leveraging her magical prowess to gain the upper hand. However, in a desperate counterattack, the sorcerer managed to wound her, diminishing her strength. Meanwhile, the team in the dungeon, leveraging the chaos above, subdued the remaining guards using a combination of potent herbs and physical restraints. They began the arduous task of freeing the other captives, each action fueled by a shared determination to end this nightmare. Realizing Danuja's absence was prolonged, Kinlala, one of the brave women in the group, ascended to the sorcerer's chambers. There, she found Danuja teetering on the brink of collapse, the sorcerer neutralized but the toll on her evident. Kinlala's arms became Danuja's sanctuary as she rescued the girl from the altar and reassured a fading Danuja that the mission had been a success, that all was under control. As Kinlala's assurances washed over her, Danuja's consciousness began to wane, her body succumbing to the injuries and the exhaustion of the ordeal. In Kinlala's arms, surrounded by the women she had fought so fiercely to protect, Danuja allowed herself a moment of vulnerability. Her final thoughts before succumbing to unconsciousness filled with a mixture of relief and unresolved tension, knowing the battle was far from over. Under Kinlala's leadership, the operation took a decisive turn. She quickly signaled to the women outside to proceed with their part of the plan, ensuring a coordinated effort from both sides. Her immediate concern, however, was Danuja's safety. She assigned two of the women to stand guard over her, but to Kinlala's astonishment, all the women present instinctively formed a protective barrier around their fallen leader, each one ready to shield her with their own bodies. This protective stance, however, was intertwined with a palpable rage that simmered within each of them. Their desire to shield Danuja was matched by an equally strong urge to exact retribution on their tormentors. Their actions henceforth would set the tone for a relentless battle, not just for freedom, but for justice. The women, fueled by a righteous anger and a yearning for vengeance, chose a path of retribution that was symbolic, yet profoundly impactful. Rather than taking the lives of their captors, they inflicted a punishment that would be a lifelong reminder of their heinous acts. The soldiers were rendered impotent, a poetic justice for the horrors they had inflicted. To add to their humiliation, their own symbols of violation were used against them, left as a grotesque testament to their crimes. This act of retribution marked the dawn of a brutal war, one that was fought not just on the battlegrounds, but in the very psyche of those involved. It was a declaration that the women, once victims, were now formidable adversaries, unwilling to retreat into the shadows. Their actions that night were a vivid portrayal of their transformation from captives to warriors, each one embodying the fierce spirit of resistance and the unyielding demand for justice. As the group of women made their escape from the depths of horror back to the safety of their hideout, a myriad of emotions coursed through them. Relief, a profound sense of empowerment, and a fleeting taste of satisfaction mingled within them, offering a momentary respite from the ordeals they had endured. For the first time since their captivity, they felt a spark of contentment, a glimpse of hope in the midst of despair. Before Danuja had succumbed to unconsciousness, her last act of defiance was to ensure the retrieval of the grimoire from the sorcerer's chamber, a tome of significant power and dark secrets. Her intuition told her it held keys that could turn the tide in their favor. Heeding her silent command, one of the women bravely secured the book, ensuring it would serve as a beacon of knowledge and strategy for their continued resistance. Upon their return to the hideout, immediate attention was given to the wounded, with Danuja's condition being the most critical. Despite her grave injuries, a collective belief pervaded the group, a steadfast faith in Danuja's resilience and her unwavering spirit to overcome even the direst of circumstances.